The next case on our calendar, 07-742, State of Ohio versus Daniel Brady, Sr. Ms. Pratt.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, my name is Shelley Pratt, and I'm here on behalf of the State of Ohio. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. My first proposition of law is that Appley's motion to dismiss was based on facts that went beyond the face of the indictment and thus was not permitted under the Ohio Rules of Criminal Procedure. Criminal Rule 12 governs pretrial motions to dismiss and states that prior to trial, a party may raise by motion any defense objection, evidentiary issue, or request that is capable of determination without trial on the general issue. A motion to dismiss charges in the indictment tests the sufficiency of the indictment without regard to the quality or quantity of the evidence produced by the state or the defendant. Where an issue is one of legal sufficiency of the evidence, that issue is not capable of determination prior to trial. A motion to dismiss that goes beyond the face of the indictment is essentially a motion for summary judgment on the indictment prior to trial. There is no provision for this in the Rules of Criminal Procedure, and granting this would be an improper exercise of judicial authority.
Let's put this in common sense terms. What exactly was not before the court in trying to decide? What do you allege was improperly before the court or outside of the indictment that the court could not
look at? What I'm alleging is that in his motion to dismiss, Mr. Brady was arguing that he couldn't get a fair trial due to limitations placed on his expert witness. However, what I'm arguing is that went beyond the face of the indictment, that concerned the evidence, the facts of the trial. I think the trial court was premature in its judgment.
So you required the trial to actually start first before the expert witness could bring up these issues?
I'm saying that issues of this nature should have been brought up in a criminal Rule 29 motion, rather than making this motion before the trial even started.
Put the whole trial on and then have the evidence come forward that the expert witness is not permitted to testify because of all of the things that happened with the federal raid and everything like that, and then have the dismissal.
That's correct. What I'm basing that on is basically it's conjecture. We don't know. At that point, the trial court didn't know what the state's evidence was. They didn't know what the defendant could produce.
You knew about the challenge to the expert not having the being able to possess the pornography. You knew the state's defendant or the state's expert had possessed pornography but had not been raided. You had all those facts before you. Why couldn't a court proceed with all the facts that are already in evidence on that case? I mean, you're supposed to decide pretrial motions before a trial. You're supposed to do motions in limine before a trial so that you clear up all those issues before you get into trial. All those facts were there in the record before this trial started. Why is it something to do with the indictment? Why can't a court use pretrial motions to clear up all those issues like they normally do in every other trial?
I think because the evidence that the court was using was conjecture.
What was conjecture?
The court stating that the defendant needed these certain things to prove his case to be defended properly. I think that it's a possibility, and we don't know because the case never went forward, that the defense could have put on a defense with another expert witness who didn't have the same exhibits that are at issue in this case, and the defendant could have gotten a fair trial.
Was there an evidentiary hearing on this motion, or was it just representations to the court by counsel?
It was the defense counsel and the expert witness did offer testimony, but it was very brief. There were no other witnesses, no evidence presented other than, I believe, the search warrant affidavit was presented to the court at that time.
And the trial court became convinced that the defendant was going to be unable to get an expert witness from that evidence. Is that the gist of what happened?
Yes, that is the gist of what happened. However, no evidence was presented that the defendant was unable to obtain another expert witness other than the testimony of the defendant's current expert and his trial counsel's representations.
And they said that, or the expert witness said he couldn't do what he needed to do, so he couldn't be an expert witness on that. And did he also testify that that it was impossible to find anybody else to do it? Was it that
yes,
second step?
Yes, that was the testimony, that no one else would perform these tasks for fear of federal prosecution.
Did the prosecution present any experts that said they would?
No,
So they never rebutted the testimony?
No.
Why can't the judge be allowed to weigh the evidence and decide that factual issue? Why is that a sufficiency of the indictment sort of problem?
I think because the judge is looking at facts that should be brought out in a trial. I don't think this was the appropriate venue for this motion.
But 12F, as you know, is pretty broad. The court may adjudicate a motion based upon briefs, affidavits, the proffer of testimony, exhibits, a hearing, or other appropriate means. That seems as if the judge can go beyond just the face of the indictment, doesn't it?
I think a judge can in some circumstances, and I don't feel that this was one of them. I think you can't show that somebody was unable to get a fair trial unless they've had a trial.
Really?
No one was denying Mr. Brady an expert witness. The issue was with this particular expert witness who was saying that I can't perform these certain specific tasks for my client, thus he cannot get a fair trial. However, it doesn't appear that Mr. Brady or his counsel made any effort to try and acquire a different expert witness, and I believe that if the court would have allowed a continuance to do so, may not have even required a continuance, I'm not sure how far out the trial date was, he may have been able to obtain an expert witness. I guess at this point I'd like to proceed with my second proposition of law to discuss those specific tasks and how they relate to this argument. My second proposition of law is that due process does not require the provision of expert assistant relevant to an issue that is not likely to be significant at trial. And in this case, both the trial court and the Court of Appeals found that Mr. Brady could not have effective expert assistance due to the limitations that were placed on his expert witness. I would disagree with this finding because it appears that the expert's witness strategy was to attempt to show that it is possible to create virtual child pornography that appears to involve real children, therefore creating doubt in the mind of the jury that the actual child pornography seized may have also been lawful virtual porn. I don't believe this task would be significant at trial, and thus this denial of this assistance would not have resulted in an unfair trial.
Isn't it the state's burden to prove that those are not virtual images but are actual images?
Yes, the state does have that burden to prove. The defense can obviously put the doubt in the mind of the jury, but the state doesn't need experts to do that.
How does our decision in Tooley impact the state's burden in this regard?
I believe in Tooley, my main concern is here that the images, the so-called digital image exhibits at issue in this case are basically morph child pornography, and in Tooley this court did not apply Ashcroft to ban those images, and
Well, we just simply held, didn't we, that the presumption, that the statutory presumption is constitutional, and that the court can instruct the jury that they can presume that the images are what they were purported to be, right?
Yes.
Well, doesn't the defendant then have a right to examine those exhibits?
Yes, and no one is saying that the defendant doesn't have a right to examine those exhibits. The state offered to allow the expert witness to examine these images at the, you know, in the prosecutor's office, in the courthouse in some way, and he declined to do so. Another expert may have done that. No one was saying that you can't rebut that presumption that you can't have an expert look at these discs.
Did the state's expert look at them in the prosecutor's office?
I believe they were mailed to the state's expert.
So the state's expert was able to take them to his lab or home, but the defendant's expert was not and was raided by the FBI.
initially, the defendant's expert was provided with the discs, but then they were seized when he was raided, and I assume that's why the state wanted to keep custody of these discs at that time.
Does it strike you that there's some sort of chilling effect or a deliberate attempt to impede the expert witness's ability to go forward?
No, because I think that had there not been this issue with the FBI, had there been another expert witness who was not being what appeared to be targeted by the FBI, I believe the state would have provided those discs to that expert, just as they had done initially with Mr. Boland in this case.
So, wait a minute, are you saying that if it would have been some other witness, the state would have allowed them to take the evidence out of the prosecutor's office?
I'm saying that, I guess not even so much had it been another expert, had there not been this FBI involvement, I don't believe the state would have had an issue with giving the expert the discs to examine. They initially did in this case.
All right, but you had this this FBI incident where they, and I'm presuming that that was not triggered by the prosecutor's office. Is that correct?
Yes, as far as I don't know that it's even on the record, but I believe the state was informed by the FBI of this investigation. I don't believe the state had nothing to do with this.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the parameters placed upon the activity of the defense's expert, in other words, come to the prosecuting attorney's office, you can use our equipment or you can use some other law enforcement equipment that can be mutually agreed upon and do what you need to do, was available to the current expert or any other expert that would have been brought in by the defense. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is it was offered to the current expert who did not want to take possession of these discs due to this FBI raid. Had there been a subsequent expert after that, I can't say that that's what the arrangement would be. They may have just offered up the discs as they initially did with Mr. Boland.
Right, so the current expert reluctance to possess those discs were not as a directive of the prosecutor's office saying you can't take these out and do these things. It was the expert's reluctance to do that?
Right. The expert testified that he would not accept the discs.
So then that's when the prosecuting attorney's office said, well, come into our surrounds and do what you need to do on our equipment here, and they will be our items of evidence. Is that correct?
No, I believe that that may have been stated prior to him refusing to take the discs.
Did anything on the record or representations in any of the hearings indicate whether the FBI activity was motivated, I guess, by this particular case?
No, I don't believe it was motivated by this case. I believe from what's in the affidavit, it may have been motivated by a federal case in another state. At this point, I would just ask.
I'm sorry, I just have to ask another question about the morphed images. And I think part of the argument was you don't have to morph new images in order to have expert testimony about the ones that are already there. Was the expert that the state hired attempt to determine whether or not those were morphed images, and is that even possible?
It's my understanding, and I have no knowledge as to what the expert tried to determine about the exhibits. It's my understanding from reading the search warrant affidavit.
No, I mean your expert, the state's expert.
Oh, the state's expert?
The state's expert
merely had some kind of mathematical formula, I believe, that he used to determine whether or not the images had been altered in some way.
Did your expert, the state's expert, prepare a written report in this case?
I'm not aware of any written report at this point.
Thank you. Was that expert deposed?
Was he deposed?
Yes.
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Basically, the point I'm trying to make with this proposition of law is that the morphed images are not protected, and although there is a judicial protection for trial exhibits, you have to qualify by both using it for judicial purpose and having permission of the parents whose children's images you use. And in this case, that was not done pursuant to the search warrant affidavit. And I would submit that because these images are illegal, that they are not relevant to Mr. Brady's defense. At this time, I would ask that the decision of the 11th District Court of Appeals be overturned.
Thank you, Ms. Pratt. Mr. Boland.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court.
Mr. Boland, before you get started, would you address the statement that I see in the appellate opinion that Boland testified that no other expert witness would risk federal prosecution to assist Brady, and in his opinion, Brady's counsel was duty-bound to inform potential experts about the possibility of federal prosecution and would find it nearly impossible to find a competent expert. Tell us what is the underlying information that allowed the appellate court to make that statement.
Your Honor, there was an evidentiary hearing. One of the other justices asked about that, and there was evidence provided in the form of testimony by the then designated expert witness for Mr. Brady, who testified not only would he be in violation of federal law to take possession of the exhibits, to research online whether they're even real, as well as to create his own exhibits to demonstrate issues related to the ability of people to know what's real and what's fake by just looking. All those tasks, the current expert said, those are all illegal under federal law and I'm not touching it. And that expert also happens to be an attorney who hires these types of experts or tries to find them and offered testimony saying to the court, I've attempted to find experts in other cases to do these tasks, and once they're aware that the tasks I want them to perform are violations of federal law, although they're legal in Ohio, they don't want to touch it.
So you didn't actually ask other experts to do this task and they declined?
I did not. And there wasn't a need to do so, and here's why. The statute, which is excerpted in the brief that we submitted, and it's also in the state's brief, is as clear as it can be, the federal statute. There's no exception. So it wouldn't matter if I called or the state called or this court thought we should have called 15 other experts. Every one of them would have been violating the federal statute to perform the tasks that the trial court, the state trial court, said were necessary for Mr. Brady's defense. And this wasn't the first court to just kind of fancifully come up with this idea. I put in my brief, there's four or five previous courts all around the state who have found these tasks relevant, necessary, and reliable. And despite the fact that this court overturned the decision in Tooley, that doesn't change the fact that both the trial court in Tooley and the appellate court in Tooley relied on this type of evidence to come to its decision. And in fact, this court relied on exhibits and research and other and analysis of the state's exhibits as part of the record in Tooley.
Would the, compromise, I'm going to call it for want of a better word, to have the defense expert work within the confines of the prosecuting attorney's office provided some kind of security could be worked out with non-disclosure of what the expert was doing, why was that not possible?
Two reasons, Your Honor. One is, first of all, it's not required under the statute. This court would have to formulate a new rule that says, despite the exceptions which protect defense attorneys to do the things they need to do in these kinds of cases, we're going to find they have to go to the prosecutor's office. So all of a sudden, in courtrooms around Ohio, prosecutors can handle this evidence, they can hire outside experts, they can send the material to them, they can research on the internet
Mr. Boland, they do that all the time with drug cases. They say, here's the evidence, we have it's cocaine, someone questions what it is. They don't deliver 6 kilos to some expert witness. Those persons come to a secured office. Your argument is specious. Everyone goes to an office for examination, and it's customarily done statewide, countrywide.
It isn't specious for this reason, Your Honor. In the cocaine drug example, there are recognized tests that are indisputably scientifically repeatable to test a white powder that may be baking soda or might be cocaine and determine that it's cocaine. There's no doubt about that. No such test exists for digital images.
So this expert testimony you're telling us about maybe doesn't even pass the Daubert test. Is that what you're saying? Is that your argument?
No, Your Honor. My argument is the
what is the recognized scientific acceptable test that your expert should perform?
The purpose of the expert in Brady would be to perform tests and demonstrate with exhibits why it is the case that it can't be scientifically
established.
Does
that test That's meet the Daubert standard?
Absolutely, the test would meet the Daubert standard because a demonstration would be done in the courtroom of here's an image that appears to be illegal mixed in with an array of images that are the state claims are illegal, and no one in the room can tell the difference.
Are you the expert or the lawyer in this case?
At this point, I represent Mr. Brady as his counsel to the Supreme Court, Your Honor.
Who is the expert?
I was an expert for a pretrial hearing. I never actually got to work in his case as the expert because of what occurred.
Well, I'm trying to ask that same question again then. Are you the expert or the lawyer in this case?
I am counsel for Mr. Brady in this case. That's it. There is no expert.
And who is Mr. Brady's expert?
His case was dismissed, so he has no currently pending case and therefore
has
no
expert. Who was the expert that we're talking about in this instance? Wasn't it you?
I would have been the expert at trial had it
occurred. So you were going to be the expert and the lawyer in the case. Am I correct?
No. There was appointed counsel at the trial level, David Perdue. He contacted me and asked me if I would participate as an expert witness in the case. I was subjected to a Daubert hearing. I was qualified by the court. Subsequent events resulted in me contacting the court, and then a hearing happened where I said, I'm not going to be the expert. And then I was immediately released from the case.
Has there been a federal indictment?
There hasn't been. There's been an agreement reached. There's been an agreement reached called a deferred prosecution agreement, which specifically states, and I think this is important, Your Honor, to look in the search warrant affidavit involved in this case. The conduct that the federal government is indicating is illegal, sufficient to do the things that they did, which are in the record, is conduct which is not only an exception to enforcement under Ohio state law, but is relied upon by judges in previous cases prior to Brady. And moreover, this case is about state rights, states' rights.
Well, if we could get back to the question, and that is, the allegation, of course, is that the federal government is going to prosecute anybody who is an expert that performs this morphing, no exception for proper purpose for defense counsel, and not in your particular case. But are you aware of anybody that's acted as a defense counsel, that's received the material, that's been indicted under federal prosecution?
No. That doesn't
counsel,
change the...
Counsel, can you get back to answer the rest of my question that I asked?
Yes, Your Honor.
Before. Why is... You stated that you shouldn't be required to work within the confines of the prosecuting attorney's office, no matter what kind of circumstances or confidentiality arrangements they could make for the work product. Could you have done what you needed to do using the equipment that would have been provided for your use, provided that there would have been the appropriate security and there was confidence that your work product would be only your work product?
Your Honor, had the proper software been placed on a computer in the prosecutor's office, all three of the tasks that are the main tasks that are mentioned in this brief could have been performed in the prosecutor's office. That's part one to your answer. Part two is, at least two of those tasks would have been violations of federal law. So I would not have gone...
Were those tasks that you say would have been violation of federal law performed by the expert for the prosecuting attorney's office?
Yes. Receipt of child pornography, duplication of alleged child pornography.
Okay, but would you have technically been receiving it if you're within the confines of the prosecuting attorney's office using the same disks or information that had been used by their expert?
Well, that's a determination I think the federal government would have to make, whether they deem that a possession under federal law or not. I'm not, given the sequence of events here, and I don't think any legitimate attorney or expert is going to take that risk and see if maybe the federal government will indict or not.
All right, but you didn't use that in your thought process when you testified that if I do this within the confines of the prosecuting attorney's office and use their equipment and use their evidence and use it for my purpose, that it's either going to, it will be an appropriate way to develop the defense's expert testimony. You stated to the court that no expert's going to receive this information and use it on their computers and do what they normally do for their expert testimony. So you left out that one step or that one piece of information, that it would be done in actually what was attempted to be a protective atmosphere for the expert witness.
Your Honor, the position we have, the argument we're making is those tasks, even if performed in the prosecutor's office, are still illegal under federal law. So it doesn't matter to protect the attorney or the expert. It won't matter if the prosecutor set up the most elaborate lab possible. No person can perform these tasks that this court found were necessary, and that's a discretionary call, which, of course, the state did not argue against. No one can perform those tasks anywhere in the state of Ohio without violating federal law. That's the clearest statement I can make about it doesn't matter where physically the person is. A defense attorney is subject to investigation, arrest, and potential indictment to perform these tasks anywhere.
Not
and
a
that's
defense
clear.
Attorney, a defense witness. A defense expert.
Well, a defense attorney would be entitled to perform investigation if they had the skills and prepare exhibits if they had the skills, as well as an expert. Both of them, there's no limitation on a defense attorney also going in and saying, I'm going to analyze this evidence, I'm going to try and do my own investigation along with the assistance of an expert.
Counsel, the end of the road to your statements in answer to these questions seems to be there could never be a successful prosecution for this crime involving electronic images.
No, Your Honor, I think the prosecutions could be wildly successful. They would just be unfair under the Constitution.
Well, but you argue the defendant should be entitled to an expert who could show that these images may not be real children, and that would always be the case, that would always be the possibility, and that it will be impossible to have an expert. So in your view of the world, there could never be a prosecution.
Well, Your Honor, it's not my view of the world. Given the federal statute, there is no expert or defense attorney for defense who could do that.
Your interpretation of the federal law as it overlays onto this problem, there couldn't be what you would regard as a fair trial and a legitimate conviction for this crime.
That is correct, Your Honor. I'm reading federal law. I see no exceptions. I see what happened in this case. Therefore, a subsequent attorney, a subsequent expert will have to violate federal law. The question becomes, is this court going to permit the federal government to dictate what defense attorneys and their experts do in Ohio state courtrooms, or is this court going to say, federal government, you need to keep your hands off? If our judges say an expert needs to do the following task, an expert is entitled to possess copies of the evidence, then that's what's going to happen, and the federal government has nothing to say about that.
Well, Mr. Boland, let's go back to like the drug possession, for example. Federal drug laws don't specifically make any exceptions either. It's illegal to possess the substance. So, I mean, with your argument, aren't you wildly overstating the federal law in this particular case for these for the pornography that we're talking about here?
I don't think it's wildly overstated, because it's a reality that the federal government has interpreted their statute against defense attorneys and their experts for identical conduct that the state's experts do and don't get harassed
for. Are you saying, though, that there is a prosecution? To your knowledge, there is a prosecution under circumstances that you're describing here?
No. But I'm also saying that I don't think the limit of this court's analysis should be, as long as no one gets indicted, it's still a fair trial if the expert and defense attorney are wondering if they're going to get indicted. Well, that doesn't seem like a fair
but
trial.
But the same argument could hold true for a defense attorney then talking about possession of cocaine for purposes of expert analysis or something to that effect.
I would agree if an expert in a state case takes possession of some alleged drug to test it and is then raided by the FBI for conduct under a state protective order, that person would be in the identical position that Mr. Brady found his expert. Yes. It's never happened, but that doesn't mean there's no risk. And in this case, distinct from the drugs, the risk is real. It exists. It's not imaginary. It's not speculative.
It sounded from part of your argument, though, in asking this court to tell the federal government to butt out, that you believe we have the authority to essentially say that you can't be prosecuted under federal law if a person has the material for the purpose and only the purpose of serving as a defense attorney or defense expert in a particular case. So are you arguing for us to reverse the Court of Appeals and establish that standard?
No, Your Honor. I agree with you. This court has no authority to tell the federal government whether they should, can, or cannot indict someone for a federal crime. It does have the authority, and I put the case law in my brief, to state whether the federal statute does or does not preempt Ohio statute, since there's an obvious conflict. And a decision by this court that the federal statute does not preempt, and a reversal back to the trial court saying, proceed under Ohio law with what you feel is necessary, find an expert if you can, et cetera, I think would immediately trigger a declaratory judgment action in the federal court for the Northern District to finally, once and for all, get a federal judge to decide, do they agree with the Supreme Court of Ohio, or are they going to reverse you and overturn and say, no, federal law does now preempt and all state child pornography prosecutions are wiped out. That's the choice. But I don't think that attorneys can exist in this never-never land of, are we going to be prosecuted? Are our experts going to be prosecuted? How many things can we do? Should we go to the court ahead of time and here's a menu of tasks we'd like to perform? Do we do that in front of the state so they get an advance notice of our defense, which they're not entitled to? How is that all going to be worked out?
Bowen, what Ohio statute is in conflict with the federal statute?
There's three of them, Your Honor. The exceptions in 2907.321, 0.322 and 0.323 all have exceptions for a variety of purposes, medical, research, governmental, judicial, and then a catch-all that says any other proper purpose. And the trial judge in this case made a determination that these tasks that the expert was going to perform were necessary and were proper purposes. And what I think the state wants this court to do is get involved in the day-to-day analysis and discretionary call of this trial court and override them and say, look, those tasks really weren't necessary. Well, I'd submit to you, you didn't hear the testimony. This court doesn't know the case as well as the trial court, I think you would agree. And they made a discretionary call, and that call is the call that should stand. Now,
you need to sum up.
Pardon me?
You need to sum up.
Yes, Your Honor.
Quickly.
So, given that, I think that the court has two options. Affirm the decision of the Court of Appeals, and we'll see where it goes from there, or reverse and remand to the trial court with a ruling that the federal statute doesn't preempt, has no control, and cannot regulate the conduct of defense attorneys in front of this state trial court.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Bowler.
You, Your Honor.
Ms. Pratt, you've used your time. It's your 30 seconds.
I would just like to state that Mr. Brady can get a fair trial. I think that Mr. Brady can get an expert, at least make an effort to do so. There's been no evidence that experts who do the subject matter are being targeted by the federal government other than Mr. Bolin, and I would ask that the decision of the 11th District Court of Appeals be overturned.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Counsel, you're excused. We have an admission ceremony after arguments.